Scripture reading this morning will be from the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience.
We are indeed grateful to be here on this morning. We're thankful to the God of heaven who allows us to come before him in order to worship him in spirit and in truth. I want us to look at Titus 2, and let's look at verse 10. I find it very interesting that Paul, as he is writing to Titus, who was sent to Crete for various reasons, but one of those reasons we see was for the congregation to be strengthened in certain areas. One of those areas was to be a pattern for good works, and that was very important. It was read verses 1 and 2. However, 1 through 10 is really the text, but for time's sake, if you notice verse number 10, and really there's a phrase that I want us to draw out, because this month we're talking about adorning the truth. I'll be totally honest with you, when we was putting these titles together for the year, I was looking forward to the month of August. And the reason why is because so much work can be done in improving on how the truth is presented, if you will. Here we see in verse number 10, where Paul says, not stealing or pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, meaning truthfulness, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. You look at the context, and the whole context is dealing with the congregation and how the congregation is supposed to be working with one another in the home, and how they are to be a good example to one another, yea, even the world. And so as I was considering this and thinking about this, Ryan, I left my clicker down there, so you're going to have to help me out. I want us to consider the idea of the phrase adorn. Thank you. Appreciate that. The idea of the phrase adorn, it's a very powerful phrase. It's a beautiful phrase. It's only used one time in the New Testament. And so that's very interesting that Paul would use this particular phrase in this context, dealing with the family, dealing with how the family is supposed to be working with one another, how the older is supposed to be teaching and instructing the younger. But the word adorn, or the phrase adorn, is very interesting as well. When you consider this particular word, especially the definition in the phrase, it's associated with putting things in order, to arrange, to make ready, to prepare, to embellish or decorate with honor, to gain honor. Now, as it relates to the truth, as it relates to teaching the gospel, as it relates to the family, the church, the world, there is a sense in which the truth has these qualities. And when you consider presenting the truth, not just to those who are on the outside, friends, the context is dealing with the home and the older teaching the younger how to operate with their spouse inside of the home. And so here, when you think of the home, let's read this real quick. Verse number one, But as for you, speak the things that are proper or befit sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to be friendly to their husbands. You'll see the word love in your translation. The idea there from the Greek is that she is a source of strength. She is fond of her husband. But notice, to love her children, the same word, philo, antro. When you look at this particular word, it's very powerful to their children. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. Notice that the word of God be not blasphemed, meaning spoken evil against. You see the idea there as it relates to how God's word is to be presented in action. This is what we see. Verse 6, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. That's clear thinking. In all things showing himself or yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine. And we're going to be talking about that here in a few minutes. Showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech, meaning healthy speech that cannot be condemned. That one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Encourage, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not stealing, pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, faithfulness, truthfulness, trustworthiness, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. You stop and you consider this is very important, and these lessons must be taught because as Christians, we have a responsibility to be an example to those who are on the outside, yea, also those who are on the inside. And so when we consider this particular idea, this particular word, adorn, has great associations. And so when we begin considering adorning the doctrine, how is this word used in the New Testament? Well, it's associated with the temple decor, the decorations inside of the temple, according to Luke 21, verse number 5. 1 Timothy 2 in verse number 9, it's associated with appropriate clothing, modesty. You think about adorning, women ought to be adorned in perfect or clothing that is modest, if you will. 1 Peter 3 in verse number 5, it is associated with a submissive wife that is an adornment to the husband. But also we see it in Revelation 21, verse number 1 and 2. It's associated with the New Jerusalem and her preparation as a bride for her husband. I believe that's powerful right there. Think about that for a second. Think about how the New Jerusalem, the Lord's church, the people of God, the people who have been faithful over all periods of time, adorning herself, if you will. You consider that and it's associated with the stones of the New Jerusalem. As I was pondering this and thinking about this, it caused me to think about the book of Malachi and how God was talking about his people and how they would be precious jewels in his sight. This is the idea of the word that we're looking at when we consider adorning. And so when we consider the idea of doctrine, adorn the doctrine of God, the instruction of God, the teachings of God. And you stop and you consider, what is doctrine? Well, simply put, when we consider doctrine, it is instruction. It's teaching. General rules intended to regulate behavior or thought. Friends, did you hear that? Brothers and sisters in Christ. When you consider the word of God, when you consider the doctrine of God, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, it is general rules intended to regulate behavior and thought. Oh, we're in a time where people today are regulating their own behavior and thoughts. They're thinking the way that they want to think, doing things that they want to do, and they're going outside of the will of God. Paul would use this particular word in Romans 15 in verse number 4. If you take notice of that verse, and I find it very interesting how this particular word is not used that often, so therefore there's significance to this word. You think about adorning the instruction, the doctrine, adorning the rules, if you will, that govern behavior and thought. So Paul uses this particular word in Romans 15 in verse number 4. There you'll find where the Bible demonstrates, for whatever things are written aforetime were written for our, here's our word, our learning, our instruction. You stop and you consider that under the old covenant, under the old law, they had a responsibility to also adorn the doctrine, to make God look good, if you will. And sometimes men are so interested in making themselves look good that they don't make God look good. And here, the Old Testament was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And so you see that idea as well. But when you consider the New Testament in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now watch this. And it's profitable for doctrine. There's our word right there. Now what does this mean? And why should I care? Well, what it means for us is that there is a doctrine. There is an instruction. There is a body of teaching, if you will, that is designed to help us behave properly, that is designed to help us think properly, that is designed to help us to live above the world, if you will. There is a doctrine, and that doctrine must be adorned. That doctrine must be beautified, if you will. It's a decor. You stop and you consider this. What are some of the doctrines of God? What are some of the doctrines of God? Well, you have the divine nature, the Godhead. You stop and you consider that, and don't have time to really deal with these things. But friends, you stop and you consider these, and you think about what John said in 1 John 5 and verse number 6 and 7. Take notice of that real quick. In 1 John 5, verse 6 and 7, and there are some that don't believe in the Godhead, the divine nature. Some believe that there are three gods. Some believe that there is one God with different aspects of it. But when you consider the divine nature, the Bible is clear. In 1 John 5, verse number 6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record or witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and notice, the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. We stop and we consider this particular idea. We have a responsibility as gospel teachers and preachers to make sure that we adorn the doctrine of the Godhead, that God is not embarrassed, that God is not brought to a reproach, if you will. We stop and we consider that, and we see all that also in Acts 17, verse number 29. But the home, and we could spend a great deal of time here, friends, because in Titus chapter 2, you see that idea. And it's interesting that the adorning of the gospel, the doctrine of God, is in that context of Titus chapter 2. And when you consider the home, it consists of one man and one woman. And we have to continue to reiterate that. We was talking about that in our class this morning. And we were talking about how the man and the woman are different. Looking at Matthew 19. And I hope and pray y'all will appreciate us talking about those things in those classes. Because we live in a time where people are not adorning the doctrine. Even some Christians who are leaning to the left a little bit. Well, if that's the way they want to be, that's fine. That's not fine. That doesn't adorn the doctrine. That doesn't adorn God. And when we consider in the beginning, in Genesis 2, verses 24 and 25, we understand that marriage is a leaving and cleaving. A man is leaving their father and mother, and he is being glued, super glued to his wife. And we stop and we can consider those great words. We need to be thinking about that and adorning marriage. Marriage ought to be adorned. And we ought to adorn our marriages. If not, why not? Talking to Brother Brian a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't even told him this, but he said something about the husband-wife relationship, Ephesians chapter 5, and how that's the closest thing you're going to get between Christ and his church, and that relationship, and the beauty of that relationship, and how in that relationship you can receive encouragement and admonishment and rebuke and reproof and the love that you need inside of that relationship. And And I told Evelyn, like, man, he cut me. I didn't even tell him he cut me that day. Shouldn't we adorn our marriages? Amen. We should. You know why? Because God does. And we have people violating the marriage covenant all of the time. How? By not even getting married. By living together and not even having a commitment. We adorn the doctrine of God in the church by doing it the way that God wants it done. Not just physically, but emotionally. Not just emotionally, but spiritually. Not just spiritually, but physically and financially. We adorn the doctrine of God in the home. Let us never be guilty of saying, well, if that's the way they want to do it, that's fine. That's the problem in the Lord's church, too. It's not fine. If God says it's not fine, it's not fine. And I don't care. I'll be ready to go to jail behind it eventually. It really doesn't matter to me. I could care less. You don't have to come get me out. Because I'm pretty sure there's some sinners in jail that need to be talked to. Just take care of my wife. And I'm serious. The problem is we've got too many people that really care. Do we care? The home. Matthew 19:4-6. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. God brought it together. Not man. This is not man's magnificent plan. This is God's plan, and we ought to adorn it. It's beautiful. It is the wisdom of God of how the society and the community ought to function. It's one of the best evangelism pieces you'll ever see in the Lord's church. The home and how it's supposed to operate and how the man treats his wife. Talking to my wife this morning, what are some things I need to work on? You need to work on this. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, I guess I got to get started. That's what we have to do. Why? Because the home is an evangelism piece. The radio station's fine. Us door knocking is fine. Being on the internet is fine. But when people see how your home is, wow, that's the wisdom of God in action. We adorn it. And so, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And I love what Paul says, for this is right. It's just right for children to obey their parents. You may not understand all of what your parents are saying and doing, but obey them. Honor them. Matthew 15:12-14, I believe it is. Check me on that. We stop and we consider that, friends. We can adorn the doctrine. We live in a world today, and it's been like this for a long time, that children are not obeying their parents, and they're getting away with it. No. We adorn the doctrine by doing the will of God. I spent enough time on that point. The Church of Christ. The Church of Christ. The Church of Christ, she are those baptized ones. How do we adorn the doctrine? How does the Church of Christ adorn the doctrine? By standing on what it takes to get in Christ, repentance and baptism. Repentance is just as important as baptism. The last thing we want is to baptize someone who hasn't changed their mind. That's nothing but a bath. So we consider the adorning of the gospel, the adorning of the doctrine of God is the baptized ones, baptized into the body of Christ. Friends, this is what we ought to be doing. We are the called out of darkness ones. We are the eternal family of God, Ephesians 3:1-9. Friends, did you hear that? Brothers and sisters in Christ, how are we adorning the doctrine as the Church of Christ? It's a blessing. It's a privilege to be a member of the one church. And some don't even believe that. I believe it's downright ugly to not believe that. that Jesus Christ has multiple brides? He has multiple churches? He has multiple women? Not the God that we serve. He has one wife and he's faithful to her. Amen. He's faithful to his wife. And he desires fidelity and faithfulness to him. And so when you consider the adorning of God, you consider Christian behavior. We can go on and on and on with this. And the more that I was considering this and thinking about Christian behavior, holiness, why? Why should I be holy? Because God said, I'm holy. I'm holy. I'm set apart. What are you set apart from, God? I'm set apart from sin. And so I do my level best to set myself apart from sin. How's John 17:17? I sanctify myself through the word. I'm steadfast. I'm immovable. I'm always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm being virtuous. Why? Because I am that complete man, that whole man. And whether you are a new convert or been in the Lord 50 years, it does not matter. You can be faithful where you are. You don't have to know as much as someone who has been in the Lord's church as 50 years. You don't have to know as much as them, but you can be faithful in what you know. Because that's what it's about, too. Our fellowship, our contending. I wish I had time to spend with that word, contending. Agonizing. The gospel. We adorn the doctrine of God, Brother Braswell, by fighting for the gospel. We adorn our families by fighting for our wives and fighting for our husbands and fighting for the family. Just don't lay down and let the devil have your family. We ain't gonna lay down and let the devil have the church of Christ. Might as well put a bullet in my head because I'll die before it happens. That's how serious it is. I believe that some in the Lord's church have already given up. They just haven't told us. Ooh. They just haven't told us yet. But the God of heaven who sits high and looks low, he sees all things. That's scary. Yet that's encouraging at the same time. So we contend earnestly for the faith. Look at 2 John 9. In 2 John 9 through 11, notice, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Hold up. Earlier we were talking about adorning the doctrine of God. Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine. The doctrine of Christ. Christ, where did you get your doctrine? I got it from God. Does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. We need more individuals who are willing to contend. I venture to say, and we'll look at this for a few seconds in a minute, I venture to say what we just had as it relates to the VBS. I can't wait to go back and listen to some of those lessons. They're already online. Let me tell you, they're already online, the lessons that we had here in the auditorium. Go and listen to those lessons. I heard they were great. Heard they were inspiring. It was a lot of facts. We need to listen to those lessons. We need to fortify ourselves so we can contend for the faith. You know what that brother told me, and I so appreciate it. He said, I'm looking forward to going into certain colleges and just letting it all hang loose. I'm going to talk about marriage. I'm going to talk about homosexuality. I'm going to talk about lesbianism. I'm going to talk about, I'm like, wow, yes, let's do it. Why is that so important? Because somebody got to stand up. Somebody has to say something. Shouldn't it be the Lord's people? Stop and we consider that Christian evidences, as we just said. Go and listen to those lessons. Listen to those lessons. Not only get encouraged, but fortify your faith. Get strong. Because I guarantee you, friends, the devil, they're fortifying theirs. They're getting stronger. So, adorning the doctrine. How? To adorn the doctrine of Christ by merely being demonstrators of the doctrine itself. Friends, it's not that hard. You can't smile in people's faces and think that they're going to bow down. You're just not going to show up and people say, oh, I'm glad you're here. No, we're going to have to contend. Look at those passages. You check those passages out. But I want to focus on Acts 4 and verse number 13. Why Acts 4, verse 13? Just something about that passage there. It doesn't take much to just merely demonstrate the doctrine of God in your life. It don't take you being some high class official, which we have none here. All of us are just servants. Praise God for that. But in Acts 4 and verse number 13 here, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. Well, see, Brother Mike, I don't fit none of those categories because I'm trained and I'm educated. Don't miss the point. Here's the point right here. Notice, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. We have a bunch of educated folk who haven't been with Jesus. But these men have been with Jesus, and guess what? They stood out and it showed. They just demonstrated the holiness of God, the doctrine of God in their lives. Number two, by mentioning the righteousness of God. Oh, man. Look at Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, remember when David sinned with Bathsheba? And this is that prayer, if you will, of repentance, if we can call it that. We see in verses 12 and 13 the attitude of David. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your free spirit, your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. When we stop and we consider that, we want to mention the doctrine of God to sinners. We need to be teaching sinners, showing up, talking with them. Jeremiah would say, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I could not contain it. I had to go speak. But look at 1 Kings. Look at chapter 22, verses 13 and 14, and we come across Micaiah. 1 Kings 22, one of my favorite passages of Scripture because it says a lot about a man who had his mind made up that he was going to do God's will regardless of what was going on around him. Adorning the doctrine of God, that's the attitude it takes. Because sometimes, and I have to watch myself, and I'm being very transparent here, depending on who you're in front of, depends on what you're going to say. That should not be the case. Truth is still truth, regardless of who's standing in front of you. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your words be like the words of one of them, and speak encouragement. Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Friends, did you hear that? Brothers and sisters in Christ? He didn't allow the pressures of these men to cause him to say something or position him to say something that God didn't say. When we consider adorning the doctrine of God, oh, I can say something in a very nice and mannerable way, but if it's not what God said, it means nothing. And we're in a time where, well, you need to say it this way. Well, my question is, if it's not truth, I don't care how you say it. Truth must be said. Say it the right way? Yes, you must. But truth must be stated. But last, by maintaining identification. We are in an identity crisis. But those who are faithful are not. Paul would say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, take notice of this. And I pray that this encourages us. Because Paul did not have an identity crisis. He knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly where he was going. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me at that day. and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Paul, what are you saying? I know who my identity is, and I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to adorn the doctrine along the way. Friends, we can do that. We must do that. But it's going to take something. What will it take? Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, I wish I had time to look at all of these passages. But you go home, you look at Hebrews 10, and I encourage you to start at verse 26, go through the end of the chapter. But I want to focus in on verse number 35, because I believe that will give us the point that I want to make. That if we're going to adorn the doctrine, it's going to take us enduring, not giving up. So many people that have given up on Christ, studied something and came to the realization, and I've said this on last week, that most children leave the Lord in middle school. Brother Lance, you hear that? Most children, most of our children first leave the Lord in middle school, and it comes out when they go to college. Friends, we have to endure. We have to adorn the doctrine. Notice what he says. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Is that verse 35? Yes. Now, notice that. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't throw it away. Endure to the end. You keep doing what you need to do as a child of God. Keep standing on the word of God in the home. Keep teaching your children. Keep holding on and hanging in with your wife, your husband. You keep hanging in with the Lord's church. And one day the Lord will come back. He'll get us. Friends, that's adorning the doctrine. Anybody can quit. But we don't want to quit. We want to hang in there. And we want to keep on doing what God will have us to do. You know, Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death. So here's the question. I said all that to ask this. How are we adorning the doctrine? How are we doing? It's not about just going out seeking and saving the lost, friends. That's one aspect of it. But what are we doing at home? What are we doing here? How beautiful are we making the gospel? When people see and hear us, do they want more? Sometimes, adorning the gospel may cost us something. Brother Royce, it may cost about our job. It may even cost us one day our lives. Are we ready for that? Are we ready for that? Hope, pray, and trust that something was said that challenged you, encouraged you, helped you. Because truth be told, we need all of it that we can get. Let's adorn the doctrine. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel. And let's continue to fight the good fight of faith. And let's realize what's important and keep that in the forefront of our minds, because the devil is not letting up and his children are not either. But we're going somewhere. We're going to glory. And Brother Daniel, that's home. We're pilgrims down here, just passing through. I hope, pray, and trust that something is said that encouraged you. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, be willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will do something amazing in your life. He'll cleanse your conscience from dead works. He'll save you from that old man of sin. He'll add you to his son's church, the Church of Christ. Maybe a child of God, and you haven't been adorning the doctrine. You haven't been making the doctrine of God look good. Well, I just got one word. Stop. Just stop it. Let's make God look good. So wherever we go, you make God look good. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.